scump prasa.
That's our intro. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cuck in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
How are we, Jody?
We had cusistas.
We finally had cusistas. It wasn't the best because it was from the north.
So, so sweet. So sweet.
Hello, van Stroopbaan in
more, more like soot sisters.
More soot than cook. But I appreciate it nonetheless. It went well with the coffee. Eh?
The sentiment, you know.
It is the sentiment. And yeah, we got some cusistas, so we're in a better space mentally and emotionally.
Yeah, it was rough with the last one, eh?
Because promises were broken, man.
We sounded spiteful.
That was the thing. Promises were broken, and I don't like that. If you want to be a bra, you must be true to your word.
I know. Don't volunteer. You know? I mean, we asked, but people volunteered.
But maybe it's for the best, because I don't necessarily want a lot of people knowing where I live.
That's true.
So
happy ending.
Yeah, yeah. But if you already know where I live, then you can bring your sisters. If you don't know where I live and you still stick 8-10, I'm calling the police. That's the bottom line.
Where do they get you is a whole other
That's a whole other story. But let's get into the news.
Our news and shorts.
Zoe Deschanel.
Arnold.
Deschanel.
Yeah. I'd prefer that. Even if it's not really how you pronounce it. Let's go with that for now.
Zoe Deschanel. Deschanel. She thinks that The Happening, the movie she did with Mark Wahlberg and M. Night Shyamalan, is misunderstood.
I think she misunderstands how cuck that movie is.
I think so. I mean, what did she say, Jody?
What do you mean it's misunderstood?
What did she say exactly?
So, according to her, like, she didn't quite understand what was going on when she was filming the movie. But
yeah,
it
seemed that way.
What do you mean it seemed that way? So she says she had complete faith in Knight. Apparently, that's what he goes by.
He goes by Knight.
By Knight, yeah.
He seems like the type. No. Because his name is not M. Knight.
I'm pretty sure it's Muhammad.
No, no, it's not. It's something else entirely. No, Knight is his stage name. M. Knight. Not okay. Well, his working name, whatever. But he seems like the type to be like, yeah, this is cool.
Call me Knight.
Yeah, call me Knight.
Yeah, and he has ominous music playing while they do it.
Oh, my God. So anyway, she had faith in him.
Yeah, she reckons that she had complete faith in him throughout the filming, didn't know what's going on. And upon a rewatch, she was like, you know what? It actually pulled together quite nicely. I don't know how to believe her.
No,
I've seen that movie.
Can tell that the whole cast, they had no idea what was going on.
Mark Wahlberg specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
More than anyone else.
I mean, imagine the reading of that script and you get to the end and you...
It's the plants.
So the plants were doing it?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And you sure? You sure you want to do
mass suicide?
Yeah, you know.
But also only who the plants decided, eh? Or what was it? Like, did you have to breathe the plant juice? Or
I'm not fucking sure. I've forgotten so much about that film. I think the whole thing was built around him with the idea of... people committing suicide, like in gruesome ways.
Yeah, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I think that was it. But
no,
Zoe Deschanel, you fucking hot wrong.
Arnold.
50 Cent, the rapist from New York.
He's, good emphasis.
No, he's a rapper from New York. I used to like 50 Cent. I didn't love him. But you can't deny in the club every year on your birthday still slaps.
Have you seen the TikTok of the brat dancing? He's like, he's lighting his
yeah. No. He's made a whole TikTok career from that where he's just like, he does the 50 Cent dance move. It's classic. But he's a mogul now, right?
Yeah.
He's branched out.
I was wondering, this brat was like totally broke. Not long ago.
Yeah, and then the water came out, vitamin water.
And was it that?
That was the first, like, big
and
deal.
And then Power. And
Power, then he went into TV and stuff. And now he's making a horror movie.
Look at him, he looks like a mogul in that picture.
He does. But this is a little anecdote of 50 Cent. Like, I can't remember where I read it. But they said back in the day when he was still a rapist. Mm. He would...
Is that the word?
I've heard it. I've heard it in English.
I've heard it with different inflections.
Oh, I see. I don't think we're allowed to use that one. But this is Two Peas. So there would be like, people would pull up and to wherever they are and like try to like flex on him and shit and pull out. And he would just go to his fucking trailer or whatever, go get like a Uzi or something and run and shoot laughing at the at the gangsters to get, like, this is an account. I'll try and find the source. And they were like,
I would love for you to link that.
And he was giggling apparently while he was doing it. Just like, cut, 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 cut.
I got shot nine times.
Yeah. I mean, he's the only fucking rapper who can claim to have survived being shot nine times.
That, I've never heard that story.
So now apply,
but I can see him doing
apply that to like business.
Yeah. Same principle. Scattergun approach.
And now he's making a horror movie. And if you're wondering why the fuck we're talking about this, a bloody image reveals why crew is fainting on the set of his new movie.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about like intense horror, like Evil Dead level of shit with goriness and blood and violence. And cameramen are apparently fainting while filming this film. Like multiple people on set have fainted.
Yeah.
At how gory this movie is. Yeah. I don't understand why 50s now. Do you think he's going the Jordan Peele route? He's
maybe, like, you know? Maybe, but I don't think it'll be
wise.
No, I don't know. I mean, he can do what he wants. I mean, I'm not his mother, but
you don't say.
Yeah, I'm not $1. I assume. Well, what is it? What is
his
double
mother?
50 cent? Double 50 cent would be $1.
Mm. How much is a dime?
A dime is 25. No, a quarter is 25.
A quarter is 25. Nickel and dime is less than that.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a nickel and dime,
no,
for sure.
No, no, no. What was the joke? Like, if you nickel back at 50 cents? Oh,
so I don't know how American currency works.
In any case, I don't know about him diving into horror.
No, let him do what he wants. Fuck, if the movie comes out and it's cack, it's just going to be like Snoop Dogg when Snoop Dogg tried to do horror. You remember?
Mr.
Bones.
Yeah.
Mr. Bones could also be a horror movie,
could
actually.
Be classified.
No, it was Snoop Bones. Dr. Bones?
I have no idea, but he was
bones.
A pump who'd been killed and came back and
he killed
avenging.
You with bones.
Yeah.
So the one thing that this tells me, though, is that the media can lie, because a lot of times, you know, you get the thing, oh, they threw up when the screening and all this cack, and then it's actually not that
like,
bad.
Like people walked out, they couldn't handle the movie.
But this does also tell me that they're using practical effects.
Yeah, most likely. If there's that amount of blood involved, then it is practical.
So that's
and practical
cool.
Over CGI, like as much as possible.
As much as you can, yeah. So for 50 cent... We will look out. Well, Jody will look out for your horror movie.
So your wild horror oats.
Yeah, do your thing, and we'll see if it's good or cack or quai or nay or whatever. Simon Pegg, the actor, director, comedy
writer,
fucking this guy,
fucking legend, man.
I know he is a legend, and also he's a huge fan of these properties that he likes to dabble in.
Massive.
So, like, he's a Trek head. Through and through.
Yeah.
He wrote the last two scripts, I think.
Yes.
Which were great.
Yeah.
So he now is also involved in the Star Wars universe.
Yes, he did play. He's played a character in the Star Wars in the last movie, wasn't it?
I think so. And like, he's also voiced. He's in the animated something. Animated.
Yes, in Clone Wars, yes. Yeah. He voiced someone too.
So he.
But he's also, he is a fan of Star Wars too.
He's
a fan of both
he's
properties. Like he requested to get into. Yeah. Star Wars as well.
Oh, yeah, which you would do. I mean, he's basically living his childhood dreams.
Yes.
Yeah. So he was recently targeted for saying Star Wars has the most toxic fandom.
Yeah. He says, and the points he made, I think, are
valid.
Are very valid points. Because according to him, if you look at Star Trek has been diverse from the 70s when it wasn't popular to do that. They had a Japanese actor playing a very important character right after, like the Pearl Harbor.
First interracial kiss was
the first interracial kiss, and the black woman was a very important character as part of that team as well.
Yeah, so Martin Luther King convinced her to keep doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yo, I didn't know that.
So he called her and shit, and he was like,
"That's actually insane.
Yeah, you need if you're not there, then who's gonna represent us?" So then she cannot, because she was receiving backlash.
Of course.
Yeah. Anyway. But,
so, and then the point he made is that if you look at the Star Wars fandom with the last few movies, anytime there's a diverse character coming in, like John Boyega, when he was revealed as one of the leads, massive issue. Kelly Marie Tran was the was, which one was that now again? The second movie?
Star Wars, the bad one.
Yes, the very
bad. It was not the device, the Last Jedi.
Yes. And her character was essentially written out of the last movie because of backlash from the fandom.
Which is fucking bullshit.
Yeah, so...
We had issues with that.
Yeah, so the points that he makes about how with Star Wars, their fans are toxic to the point of actually really pushing back against any type of diversity, whereas Star Trek, the movies have embraced diversity all along. You know, I think that's a bit of a relevant point.
But also, like, so in this article, it also mentions that there's a hate that Jar Jar Binks got in the prequels.
And how he was part of it.
And he looked back and he regrets it. He said he was so fucking sorry that he was part of that. And the actor was driven to fucking...
brink of suicide.
Aware.
Basically.
Which, imagine just going online and seeing how people just constantly tell you how cuck you are.
Yeah. All the fucking time. Yeah.
And I don't know who the most toxic fandom is, but Star Wars fans are definitely up there.
Yeah. I'm not going to even like pick a side here, because in terms of the movies, I'm not that passionate about either franchise that I'd be like, you know, I'm team this or team that. Mm. But the points that he raises here, and when he talks about how for him Star Trek has always made more effort to embrace their diversity, I think that's relevant.
No, 100%.
I think it makes sense.
Look, Marvel fans are also fucking tight here.
Yeah, we've been talking about
now, that. So it's like, yo, bro, at what point do you just relax?
Yeah, I think there's some crossover, though, like with these fandoms, because it's like it's comic culture and all of these other things all kind of mesh into one.
Yeah.
And with all of those stuff, it's like
it's pop culture, white male
Americans. Yeah. That is your hero. That is who you have to watch and support.
And it's so strange, like, we've been watching white male heroes for years, all throughout our life. And we've been like, okay, this is the media that we're consuming and this is what we're used to and we're in. Okay, fine. They can't even for one fucking moment identify with someone who doesn't look like them.
Yeah.
And we've been having to do it all this fucking time. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's like one... character, Brad, let it go.
Yeah. What's the issue?
Yeah.
and when you hear about especially with female superheroes and characters that like more diverse characters.
Yeah, the women get it also.
But it's like when you have a young girl saying, "Oh, that person looks like me."
Yeah.
You know, and the power and the effect that has on them, where they feel like, "Oh, I can actually also be represented in that way."
Oh, yeah.
Why can't we have more of that? Like, what the fuck, man?
They don't want us. They don't want us to win. DJ Khaled was right.
Not a statement I thought I'd hear this morning, but... let's...
They don't want us to win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow, Jody, come on.
I did not expect to hear that.
I made you coffee this morning. Anyway, so it's to say, like, this actually makes me think of that moment, you know, in Endgame where all the women sort of get behind each other and they walk.
That scene,
and men were like, oh, this is so corny and rubbish. Mm. And then this bra actually on TikTok showed his daughter watching Endgame, and that's her favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
Because then when they do that, then she's like fucking standing up and cheering, like girl power vibes. And I'm like, that's why they did it. To give everyone a moment.
Yeah.
So fucking have your moments, you toxic piece
like
of
just
shit.
Fuck all toxic fans.
I wear, and I'm glad this is happening, this change, because it's a long time coming, and I also like seeing them get upset, man.
Yeah,
but also
that's
not
hilarious when they try and justify the cuck, man.
Because if you just keep asking, but why?
Yeah,
but why? It's gonna break down because she's black.
they'll do everything except say that part.
It's going to break down to that. And that poor Moses woman, I mean, she's the most...
Yeah, I mean, that also came up now because of her character in...
In Obi-Wan's
Kenobi. In Obi-Wan, yes. And now, again, pushback. Why is she here? We don't need... She's not right for the character.
Yeah.
Why?
Nah, it's fucking...
Tell us why.
And you know what, Simon? I support you. You're an ally.
He's a total ally, man. Nah, props to him for raising those points.
Oh, wait, because they shat on him for this. Mm. And they're like, how dare you call us toxic when we just, you know, anything that's woke, they don't like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but why?
But also, this isn't about woke or whatever term you want to attach to this. This is about right and wrong. And like, just because someone is not what you are used to, which is a white male, doesn't mean it's not right for characters. But it's also like,
it opens when you open your characters to different cultures and stuff, that opens the storytelling.
Yeah.
The backstory of that character has experiences that to me, all white people have the same experience.
Okay.
Say what you want.
Okay. Bold statement.
No, it's very bold. And I'm just generalizing. I'm joking. But it's like that, you know, a lot, they can relate to a lot of things. They're the majority in America, they're a minority here. Mm. But they can relate to a lot of things. And when you bring in minorities in America now, you get access to different aspects of their culture.
Yeah.
Which can broaden the character and broaden the performance
and, that's
and
never
broaden
a bad
the
thing.
Culture. Aware. Stupid fucking asshole. On that note, speaking about toxic fandom, Zack fucking Snyder's in the news again.
I like how we're building ourselves up here to fucking volcano eruptions.
No, I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to get angry because this is a serious fucking problem. And Rolling Stone recently released... Every time I click on this article, they tell me this is the last time you can...
Oh, shame. Because you need to subscribe.
I'm not subscribing to Rolling Stone. I'm sorry. It's you and Ice Genoid.
And Mary Clay, don't forget.
No, Mary Clay is international. I like the local perspective.
True.
I like to know what Amor Vitone is doing.
Post-twist.
I wonder how many people will get that reference.
I mean, Amor on the lotto, eh? Huh? Nimrod.
So the Rolling Stone article came out, and the headline is quite misleading, I would say. So the exclusive is that fake accounts fueled the Snyder Cut online army.
Yeah,
which it did essentially, but
to a degree,
not to the extent that the headline suggests.
Yes.
So usually, when it comes to like a movement or any sort of drive for something, there's bots involved. Like this is the reality that we live in, right?
Yes.
There's bot farms, there's...
Like, ask Elon.
Oh, yeah, Elon, you fucking... He's going to have to pay that fucking fine. Idiot. You're fucking idiot. And I can't believe people think he's so smart.
I know.
Anyway, we're not going to go into the Snyder Cut. We're not going to go into the history of that. But with that movement, it has now come out that 13% were actually Twitter bots.
Yes. When generally you have about 5% of, as you said, any movement or campaign or anything that starts trending on Twitter, there's about 5% bot activity related to that thing trending.
Which is low.
Yeah.
I mean, 13% itself is low, but it's higher than the average.
Yes.
Which already started to raise eyebrows.
Yes.
But that's not the issue here. If we're talking about toxic fandom, Zack Snyder...
Loves him some toxic
fans. No, but
fans.
His fans, like if you think about ranking, his fans could be the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, we might be ostracizing some people by saying that.
Fuck all of them.
But I think if you look at what happened with that entire movement, and we've laid our souls bare on that one quite a few times. But in this instance, I think where the problem comes in is that he completely embraced that toxic fan and would not like, he wouldn't at any stage say that they are doing something wrong.
No.
In order to get what he wanted, which was the release of his cut.
No, and when we say toxic fandom, we're talking about death threats. Mm-hmm. We're talking about people photoshopping beheadings of certain like executives and shit. We're talking about constant harassment.
Tony, we mentioned previously about downvoting and actually negative bombing or review bombing other films just because they wanted to get... Because
it's made by another company or something. Like that. That's what we mean by toxic fandom. And he, in my book, right, if you don't stand against that, then you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, there was no denouncing of it whatsoever. Yeah. He used that. In fact, he weaponized it so that he could get what he wanted ultimately, which was the release of his cut. Yeah. Which, as we fucking said, didn't really exist because he still filmed a shitload of things afterwards.
Yeah,
so
he did.
Fuck all of that cut.
He did. Anyway, so that's the issue here. With the main takeaway from the article is that he knew what was happening and he weaponized it.
Yeah, I mean, they say here in this one paragraph about how he... They believe that the director was working to manipulate the ongoing campaign.
100%.
So he... Like, you're actually inciting people then to
Yeah.
Like, carry on doing what you're doing, and it's wrong stuff that you're doing. Wait,
so for a little more context, Jeff Johns and one other guy, some guy, anyway, can't remember his name. So they were the ones sort of responsible for the redirection of his movie.
Yeah, and almost like the Kevin Feige of Marvel, that's the roles they had.
When they now agreed to release the Snyder Cut after all that backlash and whatever, and they agreed, he didn't want that their names attached to the project, and he kept saying, no, he doesn't want it, no, he doesn't want it, and whatever. But they worked on a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have to be credited. Yes. Allegedly, from different sources, he had an argument with one of the execs, and he said, they're dragging their feet, removing their names from this, and if they don't, I'm going to destroy them on social media.
And as we know, with the entire fan base that he had, that would have been easily achievable.
There's also questions about the timeline of Ray Fisher's accusations and the happenings of the Snyder thing. Whenever the executives were targeted, Ray Fisher then targeted the executives. Then Snyder had an issue with another executive. I wish I could remember his name. But you can find the Rolling Stone article there.
It's quite in depth.
Yeah. He had another issue with an exec. And then Ray Fisher targeted that exec.
Yeah.
So it was like, what is actually going on?
And Ray Fisher was bringing up the race element stuff that was connected to his claims against Warner Brothers.
The sock is on his last leg, Zach.
Unprofessional.
Abby's got a sock on, and it's
it's a holy socks, man. It's coming for Sunday. No, why are they worn so hard? What are you doing in your sleep?
She's a real rebel rouser when she's sleeping. Crazy.
Let's stitch that up.
And that's the issue I have, because I feel like this motherfucker knew what he was doing, and he knew what his fan base were capable of.
Yeah, completely.
And all he did was just direct them to wherever he wanted them to target.
Exactly.
And that is fucking trash, bro. So I will no longer support the Zack Snyder project, actually.
Yeah, to be honest, the movies that he's made since, it's not like I've
That's
been
why I
am amazed.
The ultimate confidence to say that, like, yeah, he's not going to...
I'm not particularly excited about any of his projects. Oh, man. Be it his version of Star Wars, whatever the fuck he's doing with Rebel Moon, or whatever. I'm not excited for it. I'm not going out of my way.
I think the main thing is that people need to be less passionate about things. And we should actually focus on the 1% and bringing them down. It's time to eat the rich, baby.
Oh, yeah.
We need a revolution.
Unless the 1% wants to sponsor this podcast, in which case I am pro 1%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Netflix, Jody.
Netflix been struggling.
Netflix be struggling. Okay, so we've spoken quite a bit about Netflix, but
the pyramid scheme that is Netflix.
It's not a pyramid scheme. It's not a pyramid scheme. It was a good idea that is not sustainable under capitalism.
No. Unless,
that's it.
Unless you get your friend to buy shares as well. Yeah. In which case,
no, for sure.
It's a pyramid scheme.
So they had to report their quarter two losses, which they had predicted, or they had feared that it would be 2 million subscribers.
And it was only a million.
It was only a million.
Only a million.
Yeah, yeah. Because the last time we spoke, I think they had lost like 200,000 to date.
Which was their first loss in like a number of years.
Yeah, and now with this quarter two report, it is now 1 million users.
That's a lot of money, bro. If we're paying like what? Say even if you paid like R100 for Netflix, it's R100 million just like
back. So with the rise of the other streaming services, obviously Netflix has a lot of competition. The issue comes where they had put billions and billions of dollars into new content because they understood
they needed to keep generating
still,
new content.
Still, their content is not the most streamed content on their platform.
No.
It's content from other...
Like The Office?
Exactly. The Office was the top dog for years.
Years and years.
Until
Friends?
It was removed. Yeah, Friends,
remember,
all
like,
those things.
They fought so hard to keep those properties.
They
because
paid
they knew.
$100 million to keep Friends for 1 year.
Exactly. Now you can think how much engagement they are getting on that alone.
Fucking 30. So the content that they were producing is not keeping users there.
Yeah.
Now, how do you combat that? You have to try and make every show great. But that's not possible.
No, it's really not. Especially when, because they are trying to weigh up getting new things out like every week, basically. Versus quality.
Well, they were shotgunning, right? So their model wasn't profitable after two seasons of any show.
Yes.
So they would cancel a lot of great shows. Ozark, Mindhunters. You're talking about things that could have gone for a lot longer of high quality. They canceled it because it's like, that's not feasible anymore.
Yeah, it's too high end. It's like you're paying the actors a shitload of money.
So
the
there would be like
cost of kakai.
Adam Sandler, they'd be like, yeah, you don't like it, but our users like it. No, you want people to come back and rewatch something. How do you do that? It needs to be great.
You just need it to be good. And I mean, there was a spate of articles recently about how much actors are getting paid.
Yeah.
And I haven't put most of them in, but do you know how much Chris Hemsworth is getting for Extraction 2?
How much?
Did you like Extraction 1, like the first one?
I liked the action.
It was okay, right? Yeah. He's getting $20 million for Extraction 2. $20 million salary.
Fucking
that's just his salary.
Yeah. Gee whiz.
So in terms of
no, I just think that the poor decision makers in general. It's not. So think about that's their one issue. No? In the other issue is that there's a finite number of subscribers.
That's my point.
Regardless, no, but it's not about it being a pyramid scheme. It's just a stupid idea to expect growth every single year.
You can't. Because
it's like, impossible.
Like, they had COVID was probably the best thing that ever happened to Netflix in terms of driving more people to streaming, right?
Well, but COVID and Tiger King.
Yeah, and Tiger King. Perfect combination.
But that's not rewatchable.
No. That is something you watch once and you're like, yeah, that was a phase of my life. went through. But they're thinking that if they get like big name stars and just big movies and spend money, you'll keep getting new people. Like you said, there's a finite number of people. You can't. It's not possible that they would have just kept going.
They don't have the luxury of being this major company that already, like Disney, for instance, that already has other streams of revenue that can support streaming. They are only a streaming service.
Exactly. And it's also a matter of, what do they do next now? It's like,
so this is their plan. They have a three-prong attack.
A trident.
So they are going to be more conservative with their production budgets. They're going to roll things back. I think it's
fewer films.
Well, in general.
Yeah.
They're not going to increase the production budget every year. They said they're going to keep it about the same and then sort of refocus to higher quality projects. I think we spoke about the blockbuster stuff.
Yeah.
With the movies, but even that, yeah, is odd. And they are going to lock down on password sharing.
Oh, how quaint of them.
So it's currently you can share your password and then it can go, you know, you can with the family and you don't live in the same house and whatever. The fear there is that people are going to leave once they're like, oh, I have to pay extra to join this. It's not going to be the full amount, but you pay like per family member that doesn't stay in your house.
Yeah.
And then the third thing is ads.
Yes, that's the new, the big thing they're introducing in the first quarter of 2023.
Yeah,
right?
So they're going to have a tier system where for a cheaper subscription, you can then watch the content, but you must view ads.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going to go for that because I'm surprised by how many people actually have the free Spotify.
Yes, and just don't mind. Yeah.
It's not about lame, Abby. We are fortunate enough to be able to afford Spotify. I can afford Netflix. Can afford YouTube Premium. I'm blessed. Hashtag. Yeah.
Hashtag blessed.
I am though.
No, you just don't like ads.
Yes. She's like, I will go broke.
She's fucking not having to watch ads. From hashtag blessed to hashtag broken one.
Yeah,
sentence.
Okay. So I make bad financial decisions. Okay. It's partially for my ADHD because of my ADHD. But you know what I mean? And a lot of people are not. So I think it's good for them to introduce this. People are going to complain, but with time, we'll get used to anything.
People will adapt to it and they'll be fine. But I'd rather they do that than to aggressively try and make like more expensive movies with bigger actors.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many times you watch a movie. It doesn't generate more money. It's not like if you release something at cinema and each time people watch it, you're earning money from it.
Yeah.
They don't. Their money comes from their subscriptions and their shares that they sell. So they have to then just focus on retaining and somehow eventually building slowly again. But you need a quality product to do that.
No, you need it. And I mean, I am for anything that takes viewers away from multi-choice.
Yeah, 100%. As much as I'm still there, I'm there mainly for like live sport and whatever. But
that is one thing I won't pay for, is DSTV. Never a day.
Hashtag share that password.
Over 1,000 rand a month, you lick a tatty, man, bro. And I must watch ads. Fuck that shit. But DSTV, if you want to sponsor us, we are also open to that. Okay, so Marvel. You know Marvel?
Yeah, that behemoth.
Yeah, the behemoth, and you know, they make amazing content and whatever, so...
Treat their workers like shit.
Well, the VFX artists like shit.
And the writers.
Well, yeah. So, there was an article, well, a few articles, but VFX artists have spoken out and said that Marvel is the worst client they've ever worked for. And it actually has driven, there's one account that it drove him to leave the industry.
Yo.
Because of like the mental strain and stress that they put them under. So how it works is Marvel will line up the projects, and while they're lining up the projects, they'll seek suppliers. And they'll be like, oh, this is fucking the next Avengers movie that, and people are like, okay, cool. And they'll give it out to the different VFX studios. The VFX studios will then bid for it, and Marvel will go with the cheapest option. No, that's...
As one does.
That's fucking worse. The problem is that there's always a studio that underbids you. So then you'll be like, okay, I have to... But you're nodding your head because you're a buyer. You understand the fucking negotiation of suppliers. So then you'll be like, okay, oh
just
shit,
to get the work.
The studio did it for 500,000 less. We have to go like 700,000 less. Whatever.
Even though it doesn't make sense
and
for you to do that.
There's been instances where studios actually fucking go into the project knowing that they'll make a loss just to keep the business afloat.
Yeah.
There was that one instance of Life of Pi, the studio that animated Life of Pi, that did the CGI, and they won a fucking Oscar, and then the company shut down.
Yeah.
And this is the reality of it. And Marvel, if you think about it, is producing so much content for Disney Plus and the films.
Yeah, and they aren't keeping up in terms of how much they're trying to get out now.
And they are hiring all these studios and putting them under so much pressure. So now you bid, you know, you're already like, oof, this is tight. Even if you're not at a loss, you're like, this is tight. This is the lowest I can go. Now you got the project.
Yeah.
Now you're working. Marvel's like, I don't like this. We need to change this. We need to change that. We need to change that. They come back with changes, which is essentially more manpower, more hours, more fucking work.
Less sleep.
Nope. No extra pay for that. And they're coming with that shit. Now imagine working under those conditions.
And one of the things they're mentioning here is She-Hulk, the series where there was a huge backlash against the VFX of that after the first trailer came out. And then clearly Marvel would have gone back to this poor company and like, guys, everyone's complaining about it. Let's do better. You need to do this, need to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what happened with Sonic. I didn't even check that out after that because they redesigned that whole character.
Completely. I mean like, we know where ugly Sonic ended.
Yeah. Did they even get paid for that? Like, that's the thing. So
that's fucked up, man.
This begs the question, what do they do, right?
Why is Marvel not, why don't they have an in-house FX company doing all this stuff?
Yeah.
That's the long and the short of it.
Essentially, what needs to happen is they need to have a union.
Yeah, but you know, as soon as you unionize in the US, you are...
Yeah, but I mean, if they all unionize, because either they all unionize or all of the companies agree that they won't...
This is our threshold from now.
Exactly.
Yeah, but people are so desperate for work, bro. They're going to keep going into the same cycle.
But
I don't know how you get
out
of it.
Unionize. That's the only other option.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this is going to keep happening because it's only going
to
get more.
But you see the pressure of now wanting to get more out, needing more content. You've set timelines now that you don't even care if it's realistic.
Nah,
and these companies are the ones that just have to like just somehow find a way. Because
Marvel's gonna be all right.
Yeah, they will. They'll just find a new company.
Shit.
You know, pay you a emergency bonus fee.
Yeah, bro, but I urge you to read the article. It's very fucking interesting, and you see the pressure that these people are under.
Yeah.
And it makes me also look at special effects in a different light. Mm. To be like, when that She-Hulk trailer came out, and people were like, "Ah, the CGI looks shit." Mm. I now think like, what were the conditions that was made under? Yeah. Like.
Why would they put it out if they weren't completely happy with it? Imagine what they had to do to even get it to that point. To just make it releasable.
It's what I say. No one sets out to make a bad film.
No.
And no artist sets out to make a bad piece of art. Mm. So you can't look at it and be like, oh, they just cuck. Mm. Okay.
They were just
some people are cuck. Jared Leto.
Keep it cookie.
Yeah, keep it a cookie. Abby always telling the truth. Jared Leto is the worst. But yeah.
There's nothing else you've learned from this.
Fuck Jared Leto.
Fuck Jared Leto.
But unionize, baby. As of, today? No? When was the last day? What's the time difference between?
About 9 hours, 8 hours. I'm not sure where San Diego is exactly in the US, but.
San Diegoans. Mm. San Diego. It means a whale's vagina, no?
A whale's vagina. I'm pretty sure.
So, San Diego Comic Con, it's happening. It's huge. It's huge, not only for comic books and pop culture, but movies as well. All the big announcements is there. Because of COVID, they haven't really had events, so I think that's why Marvel
is
here.
This is the first one.
Yeah,
but also very strict COVID conditions there.
Yeah, yeah. Marvel, they usually wait for D23, right?
Yes, Kevin Feige had said that Marvel's not coming back to San Diego unless they can overperform when they come back. So they've been doing D23 for the last couple of years. Mm. Like, they completely left the Comic-Con.
Yeah, yeah.
And this year, they decided to come back.
Yeah, but it was a good move to come back.
Yeah.
Whole H, actually. Yes. One day, when I'm bigger, Abby.
Yo.
We go to Whole H.
That should be our new aim, is to get to Whole H.
Well, that's like, we cancel, get sponsorship first.
Cancel the free movie ticket. I want to get to Whole H and do a live from there.
Oh, my God. Imagine. But one day, Jody. So, we're going to run through some topics. Jody?
Quick fire.
Keep it short.
Keep
it short, bro. Like a fucking 30 seconds.
Yeah. Even less easy. Because look at the finger pointing me so accusationally.
Don't stop fingering Jody, okay?
Yeah.
Give him a chance.
At least loop it up.
She refuses.
At least loop it up.
Okay, Vince McMahon. If you're a wrestling fan, you know what we're talking about.
Man.
Anyway, so Black Panther 2 trailer drop.
Insane. Favorite trailer of this year.
Weird. But I kind of agree at this point.
That's my favorite.
I think the music was perfect.
The visuals
look amazing. So sad.
So sad, so powerful. Namor.
Yo, need we say more?
No relation to Namor.
Anyway, and the new Black Panther, they only show a snippet of the body. It will be a female
Black Panther. Oh, yeah. I am so on board with this, bro. Okay. Could be. But I think it's one of the existing characters, Abigail, if I had to guess.
We're looking at...
It's a lot. Avengers announcement.
Yeah, Avengers announcement. What is it? Secret Wars.
Secret Wars and Kang Dynasty.
Secret Wars and Kang Dynasty.
Coming out in the same year?
Shit.
2025. I don't know what...
Secret Wars is crazy. Eh?
I know.
Like,
especially the first one.
It's
I
bananas.
Hope that's what they stick to.
Yeah, but I'm excited for that. I think Kang Dynasty as well. But again, I'm looking at Marvel.
I'm going back
take
a bit.
It as it
I'm,
counts.
I'm gonna,
take it as it
I'm
counts,
a lot
Joey.
Calmer this time.
Take it as it comes.
But
just...
some pretty big announcements, and especially in relation to the characters that might be introduced now.
Yeah,
that we know about and
yeah.
Yeah, those we don't know. They
those
might
we don't know about. Wait, I'm just going to Google the actual slate quickly.
Yeah.
Black Panther 2 and...
So, Captain America...
Black Panther 2 and She-Hulk is the last of Phase 4.
Yes.
Yeah. That's this year.
Yes. That's still coming out
this
year.
Okay. And then Phase 5, we have Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Don't care about
this. I care about this.
Because Kang's coming in. Kang will have a much bigger role there. So.
I don't care about Kang. I just love watching the guy.
Michael Douglas.
No.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd is the truth.
Yeah.
I did Evangeline Lilly with the whole anti-vax thing. Yeah. She fucked me up a little bit. I'm like, huh? But Paul Rudd, baby, all day.
Yeah.
Then we have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Very excited to see that.
Because
the footage came out of Gamora's return.
Gamora's coming
and
back.
Obviously, Adam Warlock.
Adam Warlock, baby. Mm-hmm. But we'll see the Guardians again in the holiday special.
The holiday special, yeah.
Then we have the Marvels.
Yeah, that's going to be bananas. Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel, or what is Lashana Lynch's character's name now again?
Mrs. Marvel.
Yes. They'll all be uniting.
I've watched. Have you watched Miss Marvel?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it yet.
I watched Miss Marvel. I really enjoyed it.
The Indian
girl? The Indian girl, yeah. Abby has a problem with Indian girl.
Yo. You're just throwing those racist bombs out there.
No, it's
this is quick fire. Abby's a racist.
I enjoyed Miss Marvel, so I think that the chemistry is going to work between her and Captain and the
and Mrs.
Lady. Mm-hmm. Blade.
Yeah, got its release date now. There's its director, I think, also.
Yeah. Dengas is playing
Mahershala.
Blade. Mahershala Ali.
Very, very excited for that.
Wesley.
Bring
back Wesley Snipes. Okay.
Late for.
This is, Abby's going to start the Zack Snyder hashtag.
He's going to start the campaign.
It might work.
Yeah. And I'm all on board for Blade.
Oh, yeah. Blade is going to be amazing. Then we have Untitled Marvel.
Yeah. Not so excited about that one.
No, mainly because it's untitled.
Yeah.
No, but what is supposed to go here?
I don't know. I honestly have no idea what that is. Because I felt like the slate was filled.
Yeah, weird. But then we have Captain America New World Order.
Yes, Sam Wilson.
They keep pushing Peggy and Peggy and Peggy. Why the fuck have they not referred to Sam
yet? That's a bit worrying for me because he got his series and they settled him in the role now. They did their press announcement.
Yeah.
So
he should have
been
appearing in like things along the way just to reestablish
and to keep him
in the top of mind,
you know.
Thunderbolts,
so that's the villainous Avengers. And right. I mean,
well,
but
villainous
now,
is a strong word. The villainous
anti-hero. But now we lost William Hurt. William Hurt would have led that team, obviously, as General Ross. He passed away a few months ago.
Welcome to Who's Dead? William Hurt.
We covered it.
Oh, we did?
Sure. Yeah.
Yay. Okay, that wraps up phase 5.
Yeah.
Now we move on to phase 6.
Fantastic Four has its release date.
Fantastic Four has a release date. I am super excited. No casting, nothing. Relax.
Yeah.
Let's just
bask.
Away. Then there's another untitled movie. Then we have Avengers Kang Dynasty that you mentioned.
Yes, and Secret Wars. And I reckon one of those untitled films there will be Spider-Man.
Spider-Man home again.
Yes.
Back home.
Yeah. There we go.
That's it.
There we go.
Spider-Man home is where the heart is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
That's
I love
why she
it.
Makes the big bucks, bro.
She doesn't, though, because we haven't seen a dime or a
you
50
haven't.
Cent
you haven't.
Or a quarter of that. Girl.
Anyway, Marvel killed it with these announcements. We didn't even touch on the series. But,
no, we didn't. But we will touch the massive. Series. Because She-Hulk looks amazing. And then let's talk about some other companies that released some trailers. So from DC, we have
Shazam
the new
2.
Shazam 2, Fury of the Gods. What do you think, Jody?
You know how I felt about Shazam 1.
Yeah,
so.
Shazam 1, more like...
Shablam.
Cack. I didn't even
know. You win.
No, it was okay. It was fine. It was serviceable.
I'm not particularly passionate about
this. Not
Black
particularly
Adam.
Passionate. I am. I am excited to see
Black Adam.
No.
Oh.
Lucy Liu and Helen
Mirren.
Oh, Murren.
Yeah. They're
the villains.
The villains in that film, yes.
Helen Mirren is a
villain.
Where
did you get Black Eyed Peas?
You want us to get the R word?
Huh? I said Black
Let's
Adam.
Let's get the R word. Let's get the R word in here. Let's get the... Anyway, and then Black Adam was the other trailer, which doesn't make sense to me because I read Shazam and I know Black Adam's history with Shazam. And
there's no connection.
Yeah, it's a little. I'm a little bit at loggerheads with that one. Because
also, there was the big rumor that Henry Cavill was going to actually make an appearance at Comic Con.
As Superman.
And he was, in his full costume.
No,
he was going to make an appearance to confirm his return as Superman.
Yeah,
because they're hyping up the fight. and between him and Black Adam.
Why would they fight?
Because they must want Superman.
Think about the trailer.
Yeah.
And why would Superman...
It doesn't make sense. I'm just saying in terms of what was being hyped up.
Also, side note, The Rock has claimed that he doesn't use steroids.
Cuck. Ask Marky Mark about that. Did you see that thing where he won the Men's Health Award?
No.
And he's like, I'm all natural. I'd like these other fuckers here. And he was looking at The Rock because they had just come off of Pain and Gains. Yeah.
There's no way.
If you look at The Rock in wrestling, if you were a wrestling fan and you remember what he looked like there, and you look like what, and you look at what he looked like in Fast and Furious, Braz, he's juicing.
There's no way.
And then what else? John Wick.
DC? No, but I'm DC. Are we done?
Oh, just yeah, I think we're done with DC.
Okay, John Wick 4 trailer drop. That looks insane.
Nunchucks, bro.
Yeah, he beats the fuck out of this guy with nunchucks. There's a woman with a bow and arrow. Donnie fucking Yen.
Yeah.
And now that I see Donnie Yen in this trailer, it's like, why hasn't he been in this franchise
earlier? I know.
But I'm like, glad to see him.
Yeah, look, they had Mark the Cascos in the last one. So.
That's true. And he's the Iron Chef. Yes. Ambassador.
But he will always be from Only the Strong, bro.
That is true. No, Crying Freeman for me.
Nah, Capoeira?
Crying Freeman, bro. Banana way. John Wick 4 looks amazing. And then one that took me by surprise is Dungeons & Dragons.
That looks so, so sick, bro.
Looks like
that
a lot of fun, right?
That looks like a fun movie experience.
What gives me hope is that the Dungeons & Dragons fandom are super excited about this.
Yes.
Getting the references. There's a chest that has like sticky. That thing morphs into anything to try and get you closer, and then it sticks and eats you. The owl bear. There's the fucking all this other cuck. And I'm like, I don't play Dungeons of Dragons.
I don't even know all the lore. The only stuff I know is from Stranger Things. But but that trailer, just as a movie, even without me knowing any of that
it
stuff,
looks so
it looks
fun.
Like I'll enjoy
it. Is that it?
We have to end the day for now.
Jamie Lee Curtis, she's a legend, right? We all know her from being in films like forever.
Yeah.
And she said her first impression of Ana de Armas, and she says this with real embarrassment, Jody.
I appreciate that.
And I quote, I assumed, and I say this with real embarrassment, because she had come from Cuba, that she had just arrived. I made an assumption that she was an inexperienced, unsophisticated young woman. That first day I was like, oh, what are your dreams?
That's not racist at all. No. As a white woman, seeing someone from, you know, a South American country, I assumed that you are unsophisticated and inexperienced.
If she could say fresh off the boat, she would have fucking said that.
Exactly. What are your aspirations, my dear?
Not the fact that Ana de Armas has been a working actress for like ages, but not only that, but she has broken into into Hollywood.
Yes.
How the fuck do you not just? And this is the issue with these white liberal women. They seem like allies until they're not.
So they just let it casually slip that, you know, this Cubano came up to me and I just thought to myself, she must not know anything.
Have you heard of Antonio Banderas?
Are you related to him?
Yeah. He also made it quite big.
Do you know Penelope Cruz?
It's ridiculous, and no one can deny the talent that is Ana de Armas.
She's my favorite up-and-coming actress now in terms of next action star.
Yeah.
She's it, bruh.
Yeah, but not only that,
her next project to take over.
The Marilyn Monroe project. I'm like, come on. Those are just stalls. Mm. I mean, not stalls, but there wasn't any real dialogue there, but I'm so excited for that because
she's got it made there.
She can do the shits, my boy.
And what's a ballerina?
John Wick's one. I told you about ballerina.
Like for the action stuff, dude, she is so far ahead of like the others right now. I am. Yeah, this is
crazy.
This is very upsetting.
It is upsetting, and it sounds that Jamie Lee Curtis is a low for me actually. Because I'd be like, why? Okay, you thought this. Why did you say it?
Yes, and then why did you give the okay to the article when they like, came to you and said, listen, sounds a bit like you say.
But that's the strength of the caucasity because she looked at that and thought, ah, people won't think.
They'll understand.
Because, you know, I put that thing in there and I say this with real embarrassment. No, fuck that shit.
Sec, it's time for a review.
This week we are reviewing the new Netflix movie, The Gray Man, directed by Joe and Anthony Russo. When the CIA's top asset, his identity known to no one, uncovers agency secrets, he triggers a global hunt by assassins set loose by his ex-colleague. This movie has Ryan Gosling, Chris Evans, Billy Bob Thornton, Ana de Armas. Yeah, those are my favorite peoples.
Why do they always...
I don't want anyone else. I don't...
Okay, he doesn't want anyone
Jessica
else.
Jessica Henwick, yeah, I don't like in this one.
The Gray Man. So this is Netflix's new action motherfucking thing.
Yes.
This is, it's based on books, né? Jody, have you read them?
I haven't, no.
Okay, Jody will read them by tomorrow.
And get back to everyone. And,
before the movie even dropped, it was said to be the start of a franchise.
Yes, they were very much like, this is the start of a new franchise. Yeah. The Russos were excited because it's not Marvel. Yeah. And they're getting to do something new.
No, well, they were producers on
Cherry.
No, on Intervention. Extraction.
On Extraction, yes.
They were producers, but they did Cherry.
Which wasn't so great.
Have you seen it?
No.
I haven't seen it either. But yeah, the Russos, they launching their ship. Mm-hmm. And I must say, they're really good at action.
They are so good at action, bro. If this is the launch of a new franchise... I'm on board. I'll ride that ship, bro.
I must say. So, okay, I don't want to say too much, though. Mm. But story-wise, what are your thoughts there?
Did I say Ryan Gosling earlier? Or did I say different Ryan?
Okay. No, you said Ryan Goose, which is an adult Gosling.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that.
Anyway, story-wise, very interesting. It's not anything particularly new.
Yeah.
You know, this is clandestine spy world. Mm. It's... Billy Bob Thornton played a character that I didn't know which way he's actually going to go.
Which
if he's
cool.
going to be the baddie
like
or
that.
The good guy.
I like
quite like that. The de-aging on him was a bit sus.
De-aging is always sus, though. De-aging is always sus.
In the right at the beginning.
Yeah, you were looking at your phone.
You see?
I'm lying. She wasn't looking
but,
at
me. But storyline-wise, it was nothing particularly new. But there's enough there that like I was interested right away.
Yeah.
And you feel the high-end production value of this movie.
No, for sure. I agree that there wasn't anything new in terms of story. You kind of, you know, you expect a stabbing of a back or two.
Yeah.
You expect some twist and turn, but nothing particularly stood out. I could generally see
no surprises
those things
really.
Happening. Yeah, I could see it coming.
It didn't matter because it was
lekker.
Thanks, Abby. And that's our review. Yeah, yeah. That's our choir night this week. It was lekker.
Yeah. No, but she's right. It didn't matter in the end because, and I know this sounds like a lot. We do repeat ourselves a lot when it comes to certain projects and we say, it doesn't matter. Mm. But it really doesn't matter.
But
this one.
Movies earn that.
Yeah.
Right? They earn it through good acting.
Yeah.
Like you have good actors playing characters very well.
Mm.
You have great action. You have enough comedy and stuff to also keep it fun.
Yeah.
So a movie needs to earn the right for us to the story doesn't have to be that great for us to enjoy it.
The reviews in general haven't been the best for this film.
Yeah, fuck that. I don't see
why. I really don't understand
why.
Because I feel like you need to watch it with the context of what it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't pretend to be anything else.
No.
The only thing that was announced was Chris Evans and Ryan Gosling. And I think...
And Chris Evans is a bad guy.
Yeah, but I think there's a certain expectation that people have when they hear those names. Mm. So when they watch it, they expect something more. But if I'm Chris Evans or Ryan Gosling, and this is Ryan Gosling's first full action stunt.
Yes.
I would just want to have fun with it.
Yeah. And I honestly, Ryan Gosling is one of my favorites right now.
Mm.
He's the nice guys is probably one of my favorite characters ever.
That is the saddest thing ever. Netflix, if you're listening, put some money into the nice guys.
The nice guys sequel.
That's a belief, man.
but Ryan.
Look at Abby thinking, what is the nice
which
guy?
Which one is that now again? not Mark Wahlberg.
Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe in the 70s. Then he has a daughter, and the two of them cover that automobile scandal.
Porno automobile thing.
Yeah.
In any case.
But it's cool. We get to watch it again.
Yeah. Good night. But Ryan Gosling,
His comedic timing is so good, eh?
Genius. Honestly, he's genius in that. But in this role, doing full-on action, totally buy it, bro. He is legit.
He's 100% legit. But, I mean, who? If you've seen Drive as well, like, you can believe he can beat motherfucker to death.
And there's some similarities, eh? Because he does that, like, a very stoic thing.
Yeah.
Even that little bit of character background that he has,
yeah.
They don't give us a lot, but the bit that they give
us enough
is super relevant to his character now. And yeah. That was something I really liked, because initially his whole lack of reaction to pain.
Mm.
I was telling Jenna, like, why is he just grunting the whole time? And then she was saying, but if you flash back to what happened with the dad and...
Oh, why does she have to tell you that?
I was just like in the moment, man. And but then when we spoke about it,
slipping.
I was like...
You're slipping, bruh.
I'm sorry. Yo, I felt like it was a safe space to say that.
No. It's a trap! This is not a safe space!
What am I doing here?
No, but you're right.
You know, those motivations...
They give you just enough to build that character to the point where you're like, oh, I get it.
Yes. And it's not that way where they throw you back in time and then it's like, it feels like a big, like throwing you out of the current story, man. It's every time just enough background to keep things moving, keep it relevant.
Yeah, it was very economical with what they wanted to show you. And they showed you enough to understand the context of what was happening and why the characters react the way they do. And that was it. That was fine. It was enough. So you could see everything. The action was so well shot.
Yeah.
But in terms of things happening, like for instance, if someone drops a gun, they were super economical with that.
Yes.
So those cuts would be super quick, but not so quick that you don't take in the information.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was actually
you're not
like,
overwhelmed.
It's happening like that, like super fast, but I can see everything.
Yeah.
I understand everything. I understand where everyone is. I was like, that is genius.
Yeah.
It's not like Taken where there's 15 cuts of him jumping over a fence. It is... It's just, it's well edited.
Shout out Liam Perspensley. It's been a while.
That's why there were so many cuts. He had to pee in.
He had to dry pants. So, other protagonists in this movie, Ana de Armas, what did you think?
Yeah, so.
I mean, they hyped up.
Come
and,
on,
and she hyped up like, you know, they're going to give her action chops.
Oh, you're thinking of the wrong, she's thinking of the wrong woman. She's thinking of Jessica Henwick.
Oh, yeah.
The Asian character. Yeah. Does Ana de Armas sound like an Asian name to you? Okay, in your defense.
Okay, Jessica, Jamie Lee Curtis.
No, but Jessica Henwick is also not an Asian name. Yeah. So.
Listen to Jamie Lee Curtis here. Yeah.
Fresh off the boat. No, you didn't say that. I'm joking.
But yeah, they hyped her up and she delivered in fucking...
Come on, man. Come on.
Bucket loads in this movie.
Come on.
Yo, guns, hand-to-hand fighting, alles, bro.
Alles, bro. Yo. Okay, you mentioned Billy Bob Thornton. I thought he was
a
delight.
I really liked
him.
He was a delight. Yeah. I feel like it's so easy for them to...
And he's aging really well. I like the whole beard thing.
I don't want to do the spoiler yet of what happens with his character, but...
No, you shouldn't, because it's not spoilers.
Not in spoilers yet. But I did. I really liked him in this role.
Jessica Henwick?
I don't know if...
The hair was bad.
Yeah.
Abby, you're right.
Like those, the CIA characters, like the CIA head office characters. I don't know if I like them. I must phone the head office.
They don't work in store, man.
No. I don't know if I...
Because that guy, what's his name?
Roger
Jean Page. Because he left Bridgerton to do films.
Yes. And
I'm glad he's working.
Because it's this and D&D
Dungeons
as well.
And Dragons. And he's been in other stuff. But yeah, I mean, he was serviceable.
That's it.
Yeah.
They just serviceable in here.
Which is a waste, because Jessica Henwick is, we know what she can do.
But also, they are completely outshone by Chris Evans. And the madness. Yo, this is one of my favorite roles of his ever. Like, ever. We had Goose's
so
mustache, no? And now
so
we've
good.
Got Chris Evans' mustache.
He's so good. The hair, the mustache, the fucking...
The polo shirts. Bowling shirts. Yeah. With the tai chinos and the loafers.
The boat shoes.
Yeah, the boat shoes.
The boat shoes are... What is happening?
That scene where he takes his shoe off to No, this is one of my favorite roles of his ever. Like, he's done villains before, like in Knives Out as well. But this was like next level.
He was having so much fun.
So much fun. And so good in this role. He has a rant with Jessica Henwick's character, where he's like, "You guys have to you have to try and break the rules and find ways to catch on shit. I just do it."
Yeah.
And you're like, yes.
But I mean, it's cool because they were like, the moment that Regé Jean Page mentions his name, and she's like, "No, fuck,
yeah,
fuck that guy. He's that a sociopath. You can't fucking involve
him." He really is.
Yeah.
For no reason.
I was having like a Michael Bay moment at some point.
Yeah, no, he's
scorched earth.
Yeah,
he's full scorched earth. Yeah, and she's fucking crazy. I don't know. Do you want to go into spoilers?
Yeah, my rating for this is 100% Kwai. This is such a fun movie.
This is your favorite Netflix movie.
Yes, I would actually go as far as to say that out of the Netflix films, particularly like the Six Underground type of
thing. This blows like, Six Underground.
You know what? But this is what Netflix should be doing with their action. Not Six Underground cut. So I'm 100% Kwai.
Because I'm not ready, man. I agree with you, Jody. I also, this is the perfect Friday action night for me.
And this is what streaming should be. Like, I want to go find a movie on Netflix. This is the type of movie I want.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to make a theater form necessarily, but I could have easily watched this in the theater. And it was just so much fun. Friday action night is the best way I can describe this film.
Perfect.
And we watched it on Friday on action night. Okay, so it's a Kwai for me. Here's the spoiler alerts.
Chris Evans dies.
So does Billy Bob Thornton.
And Billy Bob was a good guy.
He was a good guy for once.
I know. But when the movie started, I was like, Jenny's going to be the villain. He's recruiting. Like, he's the figurehead. When Ryan Gosling makes that call to him, I'm like, he's going to turn on him.
Yeah, he's going to turn on
And he never did.
He never did. They were actually
and
friends.
It was delightful.
It was refreshing.
It really was.
It was like, he was very good in each scene he was in. Yeah. Even the torture scene, where that was really good.
Your Jenna was grilling with those fingernails.
Heavy as well, but it's like, okay, I believe that this motherfucker can go all that 10 fingers, break, all 10 toes, until they mention the torture.
And even, like you said, there's twists and turns, right? So his niece, who he's adopted.
Yeah, the niece, sorry, he's not his daughter. Yeah. Eh?
She's more of the like central pulling point than the MacGuffin of the USB thing.
Yeah.
But like, so when she's abducted, that is clearly his weak point. And at times he has to give in, right? He actually has to like get people to go after Ryan Gosling's character.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm saying he actually believed that Sierra Six would get out of all those situations.
Yeah. Because he was the ones who worked, the old god.
Yes.
Truly understood his capabilities.
Yes. So they knew whatever position he gets put into. He'll find a way.
He'll find a way.
He's taking a nap on the plane. They tell those Owens, Kiki, go kill that brat. These Brucci's awake. Brucci killed everyone. No problems.
It was so amazing. That plane scene is so great. CGI might be a bit wonky, but who the fuck cares? I mean, you know how I feel about
so
VFX
bad.
Artists.
We love them.
Yeah, love
them.
They
should be paid more.
100%. But it was so good. Even there was a scene. No, was it the train scene? I think it was the train scene where she was like, yo, that was a dope sequence.
Yeah.
The train scene was amazing.
Yeah.
Plane scene was amazing. Car scene.
None of the CGI is so bad that I feel like I'm taken out of the movie and like, nah, man, this is cuck.
And you know.
And no Netflix fake blood.
Yeah, no fake blood. No fake blood. This is a PG-13, PG-13, is it?
Yo, if it's PG-13, it's pushing the fucking limit.
Yeah, but they didn't swear and there was no blood. It could be PG-13.
That's really borderline. But yeah.
Even the hand-to-hand combat stuff, no? Amazing. That Darnush.
Yes.
You see.
That guy
the Indian
is
actor,
fucking badass.
What the fuck? With his bandana print suit just fucking. I was like, God damn. Two people. You can't take two people.
Do you know the hand-to-hand stuff and even the way they set up
have
that
you
character.
Wait, before you say this, have you started to notice... Because now, okay, you're a big UFC person. Mm. We know a little bit about fighting. Not saying we can fight in any sense, but screen fighting. Do you, are you starting to notice like different styles and how they move and they will have this character fight this way and this character fight
like people have styles.
Which, and that's amazing for me to see.
It's great detail.
Yeah.
And but with this guy, the way that they hyped him up and the way that they hand-to-hand played out with him reminded me of the Raid.
Yeah.
It's like they set him up as this, you know, like Mad Dog in the first Raid.
Look, and Indians are known for their action, eh?
Yeah.
Look at the cricket team.
Have you seen the Bollywood movie clips on like Instagram?
I actually was going to ask you if we're going to watch R.
Is he in R?
No, I don't know if he's in R, but R is on Netflix, no?
Oh, okay. You want to have a go?
Look, it's people are saying it's amazing.
Then let's go for it.
But I'm not saying we're going to review it. Let's watch it first.
But yeah, that guy was brilliant. Exceptional. Also, like an assassin with a moral code.
Yeah.
So it's like as soon as he finds out that these guys from the CIA
are involved and they catch him,
I'm not with you guys anymore.
But the way Ryan Gosling's fought was amazing. So comes from an abusive home. He was his father like was all about like not showing pain and controlling yourself and everything. And the way he handled the situations where he was outnumbered and shit is all like economical.
Yes, and I think that when they tease in the beginning, when Billy Bob meets him in the opening scene and they like you know that history of what you did in that situation, I would have done it too. Yeah. I would have pulled the trigger. They plant the seed there, so we're like, oh, okay, we want to know what it's about.
Yeah.
But then they don't make the whole movie about
his backstory.
There's just enough of it that it's relevant to the character and makes it interesting.
Even his connection with the niece.
Yeah.
They gave just enough time with
that. Yeah, I was worried when I saw that 2 years flashback. I'm like, oh,
here we go. But it was so well done.
Yeah.
Again, economical.
It establishes his motivation, right? It's like, now we know why. And from that moment, we're like, okay, he's going to go. That's why Billy Bob told him they have my niece.
Yeah.
Now we know he's going to go.
Such a cool moment also was be like, she knows what's happening. She's super scared. And then he's like, it's just another Thursday. Such a good line. And then she goes in, closes the door. Fucking so good, man. Oh, yeah.
They earn all of that stuff.
Right? Yeah.
Like the relationships between the characters. Ana de Armas and how her character decides, like, she's. They think coming after her now. Like the CIA.
I like the way you say Armas.
Yeah. I didn't say math.
Oh, didn't you?
No, I gave it a hard S.
Shit. Maybe it's my
You need to listen. But even her character motivations, it all makes sense, man. It's logical.
Because she's also unsure.
Yeah.
She's like, why is this happening?
To the point that she tranks him.
Yeah, she tranks. It was so good. The shot in the butt, man, with Chris Evans' character, Lloyd. She shoots him in the ass, and afterwards, because you never see that.
And then he's just lumping
the You never see the bad guy. Oh, they incapacitate him, and then he's showing hurt from the previous, you know? And he's lumping into the thing, and she's like, why are you lumping? Because I got shot in the ass!
But
he's
visible and brilliant.
Yeah. But it's that, eh? Like, he's annoyed with that. But then when Ryan Gosling has that scene with him, their first fight, and he drops the grenade, he's like, oh, you're good. How many times do they try and blow that bra up?
Not only that, man. When he comes to dying Billy Bob Thornton, and Billy Bob Thornton turns around and drops the grenade, and then he just shouts, douche!
And he pulls the guy.
The dialogue is so good.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling is so likable just because of how he interacts with everybody. That moment where she asks for the gun and he throws the gun.
But no bullets.
And then he's like, no one throws a loaded gun. And through that pays off afterwards again when he's like, no, why are people throwing loaded? I don't understand.
He does it with Chris Evans' character also.
So fucking good. Yeah. This movie was a ball of
fun. You know the way that we're talking about it now? I still have lust to go watch it again.
I'm going to watch it again.
Like, I'm lust to go see
it. I'm
going to
watch it again. I will, definitely.
This is, honestly, if Netflix is saying they want to scale back on projects and they're telling me they're going to do this, go do it. This is what 100%. Will bring you success.
Because, I mean, there's a whole lot of ways to go, right? You have the niece. You have, we don't know what happened to his brother.
Yeah. Who I think will pitch up at some 100%. Point in the future.
So there's a lot of ways, and if they keep making it like this, if this can be, I haven't read the books, but Imagine
I'll make it my mission to go.
Imagine like a Bond level where the villain always has a weird thing.
Yes.
I don't know if you could top Chris Evans as this character, but I would like to see Ryan Gosling interact, because their interactions are also so
great. It was brilliant, because they play off of each other so well. Like, Chris Evans' character is fucking bombastic, but hilarious. Ryan Gosling is doing the stoic thing, but their verbal sparring is just as fun as the physical
stuff. It's so great when they fight in the fight, because Chris Evans gets hit with a flare and he burns his back, and they throw him into the water. And he's like, because it's burning. It's so good.
That final fight, like, I actually thought they were going to subvert the expectations and they were going to have Anna shoot him in the head. Because she's like, move him to the right. And then he's like, no, he's going to, Dungus, you get the kid and they're going to fight. I kept expecting they're going to just not have the final fight. But when it happens, it's like, that again, Raid-esque for me. It reminds me of the Raid's fight.
But I mean, these guys are, okay.
That's a bloody fight. I wasn't talking about PG-13. Yeah, maybe. That one's
but there was no swearing, man.
No, there isn't any.
So I expected it from Chris Evans. Mm. But we've never seen Ryan Gosling do this amount of action. And the two of them, electric, man.
Yeah.
Electric.
Some people are already like kind of desperate for, can Chris Evans return for Grey Man 2? I'm like, I actually don't want him to.
I don't want him back.
I feel like
this
character was.
Nah, he's sad, man.
The character served its purpose.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, just because it worked doesn't
mean. Problem
with
fandom.
Bring it back, bring it back.
That's the reason. I mean, sometimes it works, like in Loki, but sometimes you just have to let it be.
That was enough. That character served
I don't think
purpose.
He'll come back. He wants to do. I'm so glad he's doing different shit.
And he's really embracing it. Yeah. Right? Like the villainous characters he's pulling off. This type of action.
And this makes me excited for Barbie.
Yeah. Because Ryan Gosling said
in
that's
a
the
weird
best
way.
Script he's ever read.
In a weird way, this makes me more excited for Barbie. Yeah. I really want to see that fucking movie. So, quiet movie from me. Absolutely
so
amazing.
So quiet.
Lot of fun. Don't expect the best from the script or I won't say the script because the dialogue is really good, but the story expect.
It's very
lot.
Basic. There's not extreme twists and turns in here.
Just have fun with it, man. Just have fun with it. Do we have any shout-outs this week, Jody?
Yo, do we do Graziano's Spider-Man email this week?
Can you cut it down?
Yeah. Basically, Graziano's telling us that he's finally gotten around to watching.
This is Graziano Gripes.
Episode 2. So, he finally got around to watching the Spider-Man and catching up with him. And he then went back and he finally checked out the Andrew Garfield ones, I think.
Mm.
And he's like, what the actual fuck? Direct quote. On the Amazing Spider-Man 2. Like, the movie was so poorly stitched together. Plot is lacking. They're forcing villains in and characters that don't make sense. And they could have set up a great film, but they went and fucked it up completely. And he's very, very upset about it. He thinks it's one of the worst Marvel movies he's ever seen.
Oh, well, he hasn't watched Morbius, obviously. More Morbius too. Morbin time.
We know that. We know Graziano's a big Keep It A Gookie fan.
Yeah, Keep It A Gookie. But yeah, I agree. And it's just studio meddling, man.
Shame,
it's, that whole story, I'm not going to get into it. But
yeah, it's why we have no faith in Sony.
Yeah. They did him dirty a little, I feel. He was the cool Spider-Man.
Yeah. Andrew Garfield, I think, was at that point a much better Spider-Man than what Tobey Maguire was. I didn't like his Peter Parker that much, but his Spider-Man was like the quirky thing that you need Spider-Man to do. He embodied that.
He did.
And then pulling Sinister Six out of your ass just because you can. Sony, Nyman.
So with Sony, it's like it's weird because Marvel, my expectations are, you know,
tempered.
Yeah. And with Sony, there's no expectation whatsoever.
We've learned.
And it's just like, they still disappoint.
Yeah.
Even
they find a way. They find a way to disappoint.
But their animation stuff is top class.
No, that's a whole other discussion. Yeah. Live action movies, angwanks.
So, Graziano, I would say stick to the animated stuff.
Yes.
Because Spider-Man, Spider-Verse,
Into the Spider-Verse.
No, what's the new one coming?
Oh,
more Spider-Verse.
Yeah. The animated series is coming to Disney.
No. That's a Marvel project.
Yes.
I'm talking about the sequel to Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yes. Into the Spider-Verse 2.
More Spider-Verse.
Sicker.
Spider-Verse.
Yes. That looks, the images that have come out from that.
That's going to be mad. Cool. Thanks, Graziano, for your gripes. You can send in more gripes. How would they do that, Jody, if they wanted to send us gripes?
At our email account, bioscoperasa@gmail.com, or they can look us up on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, Bioscoperasa Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Stay safe, everyone. Safe, Jody.
Safe for us.
Keep it a googie.